So this is December 9th, and the topic this month is Get It While You're Here.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that we're letting that sink in to our mind, to sink into our consciousness, and to come to the realization that that is the absolute truth, that you are one with this thing called God. You are gods in the making. You are truly gods and goddesses.
And so are you.
Thank you. You have the power to create your own reality. You have the power to bring into your life all the things that you want. Why we don't do that is simply because of our thinking. It has nothing to do with anything else. This universe that we live in responds to our thinking. Remember Ernest Holmes. We do remember Ernest Holmes, but that isn't who I want. Emmett Fox, it's a mental world we live in, and we have to constantly remind ourselves of that. Very interesting at this time of the year to remember that, because we get in all kinds of stress situations here and we start to listen to the world, we start to listen to all the commercials and so forth, and we start to participate in this frenzy called Christmas. Just say, have a wonderful Christmas. Have a peaceful Christmas. Christmas is not about all these gifts and all the things that so many people think it is. Metaphysically, we look at Christmas differently than other religious organizations. Religious organizations, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with this thing called Christmas. If you know what you're celebrating. You're not celebrating all the gifts and so forth. You're celebrating a Christ consciousness that is inside of you. And that Christ consciousness wants to be born or reborn in you. And that's what we're looking for here. We're looking for this, as I say before, we're always looking for a different way to go through life than most people do. Most people go through life exactly the way their parents went through life and exactly the way their grandparents went through life, because we are so conditioned to looking at life and seeing life that we buy in to the mass thought patterns that are going on out there. Instead of saying, oh, I don't have to act that way, I don't have to do that, we say, oh, well, that's the way all humans do. Look at television, look at anything, this is the way it all happens. We have to go through suffering, we have to go through joy and happiness and all this stuff. You can always be filled with happiness, you can always be filled with joy, and you can always be filled with bliss. It has nothing to do with what's going on around you. It has to do with your interpretations that are going on in your mind. The mind has inside of it what's called an interpreter, and it interprets everything that comes in. But you are responsible. You have to stand back from that, see that interpreter, and then change your mind, because it's not the outside of life that does anything, it's always the inside, it's always your thinking that's going to cause everything. So if anything bad happened to you, you think it's bad, that's your thinking, you see. And we all come to a collective consciousness if something bad happens to people, we say, oh yeah, well that's bad, no. That's just something that happened. See, we qualify everything good and bad instead of saying, that's just reality. That's the way that is. Then we don't get carried away with all that stuff. All right. And here it is, coming close to Christmas and all. And I'm going to put through this in as we get closer to Christmas, because so many people think that this metaphysical teaching, or this thing called science of mind, is a Christian teaching. It is not a Christian teaching, people. Many metaphysicians, many metaphysical churches would like you to believe that it's Christian. Why? Simply because they don't want to offend anybody, and they don't want members. They want more members. So they dump it in there, and they soft sell the whole thing. It doesn't matter. In religious science, here's what matters. We believe everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. And to be a Christian church, to be considered a Christian, you must take Christ as your Savior and let Christ be the intermediator between you and God. We don't have that. You can talk directly to this thing called God, directly to this thing called the universe, without anybody superseding for you or coming to your aid. You in the Catholic Church go to Mary always. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, Mary did not exist in the Catholic Church for hundreds and hundreds of years after they started. They decided they had to put a goddess in there, because all religions have a goddess. So they came up with Mary, which was a good choice, and they made her all the different things that she is. So anyway, religious science is not a Christian teaching. You can celebrate Christmas. There's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas, but it's not a church holiday. It's just not a church holiday. So you have to think of that and use your own interpretation of what you think Christmas is. Let this thing, this consciousness, when we talk about Christ and we talk about this man, Jesus Christ, no one knows his last name, but people think it's Christ. It's not Christ. Christ is a consciousness, a Christed consciousness. And he was Christed because his consciousness rose to a higher level. We can all do that. What did Jesus say? You can do this and greater things. And we completely forget that all the time. Because most religious organizations want to make Jesus an absolute exception. And he was the perfect one, and you are not. You are imperfect. Please, people, remember, you are always whole and complete and perfect. You are a perfect being, and you are held in the highest of esteem by this thing called God. So if anyone tells you that you're sinful or you're not this, that, or the other thing, just say goodbye to them. You know, love them, bless them, and release them. Don't have them in your life, because it's an insidious thing that just seeps into you. If you're around enough people telling you that you're bad, you will begin to believe that. So stay around people who want to always build you up, who always want to tell you how wonderful you are. Now, along with that, I will add this. What is your mind telling you? You see, I can tell you people that you're whole, complete, and perfect. I can tell you that you're gods and goddesses. But if your mind is refuting that, you're the one. Everything is done on the inside. Everything is done with you. You see, every aha moment, everything has to come from inside of you. We were talking earlier about a book, and I said to Andy, well, what more can they say? They can just say it in a different way. And that's exactly what I do. I say the same thing over and over, and I just find different ways to say it. Till finally, it finds a spot in you and opens you up, and you go, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. You see, you're not, in this teaching, we ask you to use your mind. We ask you to use logic. We never ask you to dumb yourself down, be stupid. This is not a mystery religion. If you want to be stupid, go to a mystery religion. By the way, Christianity is a mystery religion. It's a mystery religion. They didn't tell you that either. Because it's a complete mystery, you know. Did this thing, this man called Jesus, really walk on water? Was Mary really a virgin? Or was she a 14-year-old girl, got in trouble and said, oh, thank God did it to me? You don't know. And it doesn't matter. You see, none of these things matter. What matters is what you are thinking about yourself. what you were thinking about yourself. Well, I had a religious science church. An older woman said, oh, what I really like about religious science is all the tradition. Well, right away, if you're going to start traditions, you're going to find yourself in deep water. You see, once you start a tradition, you keep it up, and then you forget even why it started or anything, and it keeps you in the box. This teaching has no traditions, and if you hear somebody say, this is our traditional thing, run the other way. Now, you may do it twice, three times, or you may decide it. But living on tradition is not going to get you anywhere because it's old, stale information. And it didn't work for them. It's not going to work for you. It's like the faith of our fathers. A wonderful song. But you cannot have the faith of your father. It didn't work for him. How's it going to work for you? You see, that was a completely different faith. That was a completely different time. Now you're into this teaching, which is a philosophy. It's based on all the truths that are in all the different religions, because there's a thread of truth that runs through all religions. But people want to dangle all this stuff on and never look at the truth again. They want to make it something that it's not. So the main thing I think I'm trying to tell you is use your own mind and think for yourself. You see, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. You see, that's why I tell people, don't go out of here and say, Dallas said this, that, and the other thing. Go out of here and say, ha, here's what I think. Here's what I think. You don't want to regurgitate what I'm saying. I have found different things that work in my life. I have found all these methods and so forth, and I share them with you. But you do not have to follow them, you see. You make it up yourself. If you go to the gym and you're lifting weights and so forth, and you do that same routine, and you read books, and you do somebody else's routine, you're doing somebody else's routine. You can decide for yourself, oh, if I lift it this way, I feel this muscle, and I feel this going on. I feel that then becomes yours. You see, then it becomes yours. But we're so used to buying into everybody else's system, aren't we? People pay thousands and thousands of dollars to find out somebody else's system. You see, look how many different types of exercises there are. And the same way, look how many different religions and so forth they are. Somebody made those all up. Make your own self up. Make up your mind. And learn to come from this feeling. It doesn't matter. Somebody once said to me, did you ever read the Bible? I said, no, but I saw the movie. Does that count? You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to read these things. What we're trying to do here is make a better life for ourselves. Meaning, inwardly, a better mental life, a better mental attitude, where we don't fall for all the things that the world falls for all the time and tells you it's all right to be angry, it's all right to be this, it's all right to be that. Nothing wrong with anger, people. That's a child that you bore. But you have to know how to use it correctly. Nothing wrong. Never stuff your feelings, but learn how to express them correctly so that you always feel good about yourself, so that you are always in control. You see? That's what this teaching is about. It's teaching you to control your thinking, to control your mind, so that you realize that your mind is yours to use, but most people let their mind use them. You see? Because that interpreter that's inside of us interprets things differently. You do not know the complete truth about anything, but because our mind loves to figure things out, it comes up with a scenario or a story that may or may not be true. And most of the time, it's not true. 99% of the time, what your mind tells you is not true. In situations, personal situations, interpersonal situations with other people, because you don't know the whole story, and you cannot see the whole story, you see. So you have to get your mind to work for you. You have to get your mind to work for you. Okay. With that said, Andy, would you read down and pass it?
I envision only the best for my life.
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 And I envision only the best for my life. Why is this so important to envision only the best for your life? What is the largest tool we have in our toolbox?
Imagination.
Imagination. So when you're visualizing at the very best, you're using your imagination. Now the reason why I picked this evening is because here's another little thing that frankly did not dawn on me either. Listen to this. Since doubt and worry are a misuse of my power of imagination, I choose instead to expect the best from myself and from others. Doubt and worry are a misuse of my power of imagination. If you have this power of imagination, why not use it always to bring the very best into your life? But we allow ourselves to worry, you see, and we allow ourselves to doubt. And what do we worry about mostly? We worry about the future. And there's no such thing as the future. That is a mind concept that we have come up with. And that's all it is. You can never touch the future. And you can never touch the past either. They're mind concepts. But yet we live as though they were real. And we worry about the future. We worry about the future. And it's a mind concept. It's a mind construct that we have made, you see. Because you cannot. No one's ever gone to the future. We move from day to day, from moment to moment, but we never reach the future. But we live our lives as though that were true, that there is such a thing as a future. One of the biggest lies that we have been told, and one of the biggest things that is misleading, you see, we grew up as children thinking, oh, the future. We're always waiting for the future. And there's no such thing as the future. There's only this moment. So in this moment, if you know that you're being taken care of, and you're using your imagination correctly to bring only the best into your life, you can give up worry and you can give up doubt, you see. People doubt that the future is going to be what they want it to be. Well, what do you think you're doing with your imagination then? You're using it incorrectly, you see. If you know that you're always being taken care of, and that you're only bringing good into your life, then that's all that's going to happen to you. The rest is not going to happen. Now, people will say, yes, but what if this happens, or that happens, or that happens, or that happens, or that, whatever. Well, anything that is in your life, you have drawn into your life. For some reason. Now, you don't punish yourself. Somebody once said, well, you mean to tell me that airplane went down? All those people were thinking that the airplane would go down. I have no idea. You know, I have no idea how that happens. But I do know there's such a thing as consciousness. And that it's our consciousness that's doing those things. When I get on an airplane, I always affirm that it will be safe, that it will arrive on time or earlier. Everything will go fine. I never bring into my imagination an airplane going down or blowing up or wrecking or whatever they do. Now, people do. They're afraid of this and everything. And this draws things to you. You know, we say that love draws things to us, and it does. The more you love something, the more it will come to you. The more things just keep coming. But fear also does it. For some reason, fear attracts. And you get fear. So leave that. Leave that fear. Just leave it. You remember what fear stands for. False evidence appearing real. Fear is only false evidence appearing real. And we buy into that. And we think, oh, that's real. It's not real. It's not real. You see? So keep that in mind. So anyway, the topic, get it while you are here. Now here again we're going to use this man called Jesus, who was a great teacher, by the way. And what did he say? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And as soon as people hear the word abundantly, they think, oh, a lot of material things. A lot of material things are going to come into my life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No, what he was saying is, metaphysically, there's a life inside of you. There's a different consciousness inside of you that you can access. And when you access that, you have an abundant life. It doesn't mean attracting a lot of material things. You will attract a lot of material things. But we're always interested in what is going on the inside of life, not what's going on the outside of life. You want the abundant life. The abundant life is a life of joy, a life of bliss, a life of happiness, a life without all what I call the nits and fleas of life. You've been around people who have just one disastrous thing going on after the other. They live in total drama and they think that that's life. That's not an abundant life. An abundant life is to know that you are one with this thing called God, that this thing called God is taking care of you. Every moment of your life you're being taken care of. That you truly are the beloved in whom this thing is well pleased. That is what you have to get into your consciousness. Then look at it also metaphysically. When Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. What does that mean metaphysically? In my Father's house, in the mind of God, there are many states of consciousness. Many states of consciousness. We are living in this one state of consciousness. Now the world is starting to change. And there are a lot of people who are starting to see that there is a different consciousness going on inside of them. And they can move into that consciousness and live from that consciousness. What would I mean by that? We are living right now in a consciousness where we believe in theft and murder and rapes and we believe all these things. We can move out of that consciousness into a consciousness and bring everyone with us to a consciousness where, we are gods and goddesses. We can have peace. We can manifest what we want. That's the new consciousness that's coming. Where we see ourselves and other people as the radiant beings that they are. That we see this thing called God in each and every one of us. Instead of thinking, oh, it's a nice idea. I haven't reached that stage yet. You have to make up your mind to reach that stage. You just have to say, I've reached that stage. You say, otherwise, you're not going to get it while you're here. You're going to keep postponing that and postponing that and postponing that till one day you'll wake up dead. You say, and you won't have it. You say, and you won't have it. Learn to go within. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to see every wonderful quality about yourself. Every little thing about yourself. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about the world. The world is going to be the world. It's always going to be there. But you can see things differently. You will go through life differently. Without all the worry, without all the doubt, and without all these other little things that inflict everybody. You can have a prosperous life, and you can have an abundant life. But that comes from inside of you, where you have no doubt that you are one with God, where you have no doubt that you're able to do these things. You see? We let doubt and fear come in. So if imagination is our greatest tool in our toolbox, why not use it always to bring good into our lives? See? But we use it to bring the opposite into our lives, because we start to doubt and we start to have fear and we start to worry about things. Here again, for some reason, Jesus is here tonight. Jesus said, worry will not add one cubit to you. A cubit was a form of measurement in biblical times. I don't know how big a cubit is, but it won't add. Worry won't add anything to you. We are taught that it's a virtue to worry, because the more you worry, the better the thing is going to get. I think Catholics get that right away, don't they? What a horrible way to go through life, that you think that worry is going to do something. The only thing worry is going to do is make you a nervous wreck, and you're going to go on antidepressants or something. You know, I lived in a family that worried all the time, and my mother took more pills than you could shake a stick at. She was on Valium for 30 years. You know, when anything had happened, anything is up, she couldn't handle it. Anything that happened, the first thing was, well, I'll take a pill. Loved her dearly, and that's how she went through her life. You don't have to go through your life that way. You know, that was her choice. And we can say she didn't know better. It doesn't matter if you know better or not, you always have a choice. Suffering is optional. It's an option. It's a choice that you're making. Do you want to suffer with this? No, I don't want to suffer. And you don't have to. Here again, this idea of suffering in all Christian teachings, they bring up Jesus, and Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered. Years ago, I went to an Episcopal church, and I knew I was in trouble when the priest said, tonight we're going to discuss the suffering Jesus. Now, why would we want to discuss the suffering Jesus? And so the abundant Jesus, the prosperous Jesus, the wonderful Jesus, you know. You can't concentrate. What you concentrate on, you get. If you're concentrating on suffering, you're going to get suffering. So, where mind flows, energy comes back to you. So if you're thinking and concentrating on suffering, that is what you're going to get. And people will say, but there is suffering in the world. There is suffering in the world, but I want to tell you that it is optional. It is optional. You do not have to suffer. It doesn't add anything to you. It doesn't add a thing to you. So, give up the idea of suffering. Give up the idea that the world is a place where you are here to suffer. or a veil of tears that you're trying to go through, or whatever it is. This is, right now, you are totally alive. And you have this moment, this wonderful thing called the present moment. Use it. See if I can remember what Eleanor Roosevelt said about that. She said, life is a gift. That's, life is a gift. That's why they call it the present moment. It's a gift. It's a present to you. And we must unwrap that gift. We must look at that and know, oh, I have this moment. And not let the mind tell you, get you into the future or take you to the past. Stay here. This is the only life there is. If you're thinking of anything else, you are not present. If you're thinking of anything else, what you did this morning, what you're going to do tomorrow, you have left the present moment and you're not alive. You're in what's called a mind construct. That mind construct is very convincing. It's like the world itself. That mind construct convinces you that that is reality and that that is real. And now it's your job to figure out, is this a mind construct that I am constructing? And can I change it, you say? And you can change it by coming back to the present moment and knowing who you are, that you are truly a child of God. You truly are a child of God. No one wants to talk about that. Everyone's embarrassed to talk about that. You're afraid to take that on because your mind tells you, oh no, but I'm really not. And if he only knew, meaning me and God, all the things that are bad within me, all the things that I know about myself, oh, give yourself a break. You know, don't do that to yourself. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we're not pleased with. But get rid of them. Just leave them go. You see? We hold things against ourselves that this thing called God and never even looks at. Doesn't bother God in the least, people. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God always is reclined in sweet repose. Always. God does not get upset. God does not get angry. What does God do? Loves. Just loves and loves and loves and loves and loves. And if you do that, if you keep loving yourself and forgiving yourself, you will get closer and closer and closer to the concept that you are one with God. Because that's how God operates. That's how God operates, you see. So forgive yourself and see yourself in a whole new and different way. And give up all the past, all the things that you think you did wrong. Nobody here has not done something wrong, which they think is wrong. You see, it's your mind again. It's a construct of your mind telling you that. The whole idea of, we call it, science of mind, it's learning to control your thinking. It's learning to control this mind of yours so that you see things differently, so that you become different. And then life becomes different. Everything around you becomes different, you see. We use this little ego mind of ours to store up all this stuff. The ego, by the way, hates the present moment, people. It hates the present moment because it can't live in the present moment. It can only live in the future and only live in the past. So it's always dragging you here or there. It's always dragging you here and there. And you have to know that. Uh-oh, it's taking me someplace that I'm going to go. Bring yourself back. Bring yourself back. And learn to do it with fun and enthusiasm and so forth. Never get angry and so forth. That the more you get angry and so forth, the more solid it becomes. When you're able to laugh at yourself and laugh at what's going on, you've accomplished a great deal. I don't know if you ever heard that they say laughter is the closest to God you could get when you laugh. And isn't it a wonderful feeling? It releases things. It does all kinds of things when you learn to laugh. But learn to laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously and think that, and first of all, don't take this whole thing called life so seriously. You say, that's no big deal, life. You better get used to it because it's going to go on for an eternity. See? And that's what people forget. It's going to go on, you might as well get used to it. And learn how to use it correctly. Learn how to use your life correctly. See yourself the way you want to be. See yourself the way you want to be. And know what? That you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I really matter.
I don't know.
I just don't hit nobody.
And I have to sue when I get a lot of people involved.
Chased another one.
I talk to many people. And when they come to the realization that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter, their life changes. Their life changes. It takes sometimes a while to do that. But you have to do that for yourself. You have to do that for yourself. All life is a do-it-yourself project. No one can do it for you. You have to do it. When you realize that, life changes. We'll use Rhoda for an example. Hasn't your life changed since you realized that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we have to remind ourselves of that every day because things happen to us, but we have to keep bringing that back.
And I will not matter in everyone's life, and that's okay.
That's all right. You don't have to.
I don't have to.
But you only have to
that
matter.
That was a big one.
Yes. Yes. Why was that such a big one? Because we want the admiration of other people. Instead of wanting the admiration, the love, and the appreciation from other people, give it to yourself. Don't burden people with that responsibility. You see, you want to give that responsibility to somebody else. No. You appreciate yourself. You love yourself. Can you see how that would ease your life a lot? You wouldn't be out searching for things. Love in all the wrong places. You look for love in here. And you learn to love yourself. But here again, since childhood, have we not been taught that we have to find somebody to love us? We have to find somebody to love us. I mean, what do you think all these people are running around out there? They're trying to find this thing called love. Only love is in here. Not on the outside of life. It's in here. Once you love yourself, all the people will be attracted to you. You'll get what you want. I was thinking, this whole idea of pursuing. We're always trying to pursue something. Well, it runs ahead of us all the time. Stop pursuing something. Just sit and love yourself. And what you are thought you were pursuing will come to you. But you see, when you're pursuing something, you're chasing after it. The more you chase, if you chase somebody down the street, don't they keep running? Then what they don't run, they run ahead of you. So, and I'm talking about not only people, I'm talking about careers and everything else. People are so, I have to pursue this. No. Stop pursuing things. And know. Just stop pursuing things and know. Oh, I don't have to pursue my career. I have my career. It's already here. It's already done. It's already within me. I don't have to pursue anything. Because when you're pursuing, you're chasing. You're chasing after something. Don't chase after everything. Why should that make sense to you? If you know that you're a god or a god, and you think God runs around chasing things, no, I don't think so. God sits and everything comes. You're saying. When you know who you are, the whole world will come, put itself at your feet, and unfold. The whole world will come, put itself at your feet, and unfold for you. But we think, oh, I have to pursue, I have to get out there, I have to go, blah, 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 blah. Don't do that to yourselves. Sit and love yourself. Sit and know your worth. Know that this thing called God would be incomplete without you. God needs you. And you need God. We're all strings in a tapestry. And each string is important, you see. Each string is important. You are very important people. And that's what you have to remember. And I think we get lost, especially in big cities like LA, where there are millions and millions of people. We think, oh, well, we're so insignificant. There's some more people out there, and this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't matter how many people there are. You are a unique individual. You are the rarest of the rare, and you have to remember that. You are the rarest of the rare. And you give up that idea of competition. You give up all that idea that there's anything out there that's against you. Everything in the universe is for you. Everything is working for you, not against you. And we think that. We think it's doing. Thought came through my head about Andy. And it went out the other side, by the way. It'll come back. Because you're doing so well right now. So you changed your attitude somehow. You changed something in your consciousness that is now drawing all this to you. So you must have decided that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You must have done that. Because before, when you were down in the dumps, nothing was coming to you, was it? Well, nothing's ever going to come to you when you're down in the dumps. Only the dump is going to keep coming to you. You have to do that. Last week with Tony, remember Tony went right out and got a job, which is fantastic. Because, and she, I wanted her to come tonight. She told me after class, she remembered something that she learned in class and she used it and got the job. You know, this stuff works, people. This teaching works. It wouldn't still be around if it didn't work. Now, the whole idea of metaphysics and so forth has been around since day one. Religious science has been around 100, maybe 125 years, that's all. But metaphysics, the Essenes, 500 years before Christ, knew metaphysics and used the same techniques. The same techniques, you see. So there are techniques in this teaching, and you can use those techniques. But many people want to do the affirmations. Nothing wrong with that. Many people do treatment work. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you that nothing will come into your life till you realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You can treat from morning to night, and it's not going to happen because God can only work through you. Meaning through your consciousness, through your attitudes, through your beliefs, through your opinions, through your viewpoints. So you have to align those viewpoints to this thing called God. Remember, it's learning to think God thoughts after it. Learning to think God thoughts after it. Was it last week or the week before? I said, think of yourself as an angel. How would an angel handle this? How would an angel think about this? Or how would God think about this? I often do that when I'm in all this turmoil and so forth. I said, oh, how would God think about this? How would, and then my mind clears because I know that I'm connected to this thing called God, this mind of God. I'm using the mind of God. There is only one mind. You see, there's only one mind. There's not my mind to God's mind. There's my mind as God's mind. The same is with you people. But we're all using the same mind. Why? How does anyone remember how you can prove that? That we're all using the same mind? You're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. And the eyes see nothing, only the mind sees. Your eyes don't see anything, they're just windows that you're looking through. But since we all see the same thing, then it must be one mind. If I had a different mind, I'd be seeing something different. There's tons of stuff here we can't see. But if I had a different mind, I could probably see them. But we're all using the same mind, the mind of God. No other mind out there to use. So, think of that when you're using your thinking power. But let's go back a moment to imagination. I talk about imagination all the time. Greatest tool you have in your toolbox. And we constantly forget it. We constantly forget we have that tool. The world takes it away from us. It says, oh no, you can't. That's just your imagination. But imagination is all you have. Everything that came into existence because of imagination. No other thing out there. No other thing out there. If you remember our little friend Nathan, how long it took him to remember imagination. Now he's off doing wonderful things when he finally goes, oh, imagination. Because it's the last thing we think about. Greatest tool, greatest gift we've been given, and we just do not use it enough. So use your imagination and let things happen to you now. Get what you need now. Don't wait another day, another hour, another minute, or to the first of the year and then decide, well, now I'll make a resolution and I'll do it that way. Give yourself that gift right here and right now, that wonderful gift of imagination. And that wonderful gift that you are one with this thing called God. That's all life is about. Life isn't about anything else but that. We allow all these trappings to get in there and we think life is something that it's not, but it's not. Okay, I have a few cards here. Oh, we did that one. Oh. Maybe I don't have any cards. Ah! When we believe our thoughts, when we believe our thoughts instead of what is really true for us, we experience the kind of emotional distress that we call suffering. When we believe our thoughts instead of what is really true for us. Okay, what does that mean? What is really true for you? You're whole and you're complete and you're perfect. Right. You're one with God. All those things. See? So, those are the thoughts. But you don't. You look at reality or you listen to somebody else tell you you're no good, you're this, that, the other thing. But then you start to suffer. You see, you start to suffer. Can I tell you a story about my friend Hattie? Loved Hattie. Hattie was a minister. Hattie Johnson was her name. She was a black lady. One time, and I'll tell you two stories about her. I love this woman. So somebody said to me, who's that black woman that you are friends with? And I thought, black woman? What? I thought, black woman? I thought, I said, you mean Hattie? Well, I never saw her as black. But anyway, we were in class one time together. And we were doing the N-word. And I said to her, I said, Hattie, how do you feel when you hear that word? She says, it doesn't affect me at all, Dallas. She said, after all, I know who I am. Doesn't affect me at all. I know who I am. My hair's standing up. Best thing I ever heard. Know who you are. And none of that stuff will affect you. But when you're weak in knowing who you are, then somebody says something like that and you start to see that reality. You see, don't do that to yourself. So, when we believe our thoughts instead of what was really true about us, she knew what was true about her. No one is true about you. You see, we're not here. You know, this is not a Baptist church where everyone thinks they're a sinner and they still keep going to church. Never could figure that one out. Why would you go to a church that keeps telling you you're going to hell and you're going to be a sinner, and then, to top it off, you put money in the collection plate? You know, ridiculous. We don't attach to people or to things. We attach to uninvestigated concepts that we believe to be true in the moment. So I do that one again. We don't attach to people or to things. We attach to uninvestigated concepts that we believe to be true in the moment. That's that story again. We let our mind build up a story. Most of the stories that our mind builds up are not true at all. Are not true at all. Don't let your mind do that to you. My mind used to just run me down all the time. It was horrible. Now it doesn't do that. I don't allow it to do that. I am the master here. You have to be the master. That's all there is to it. We are disturbed not by what happens to us, but by our thoughts about what happened. Always a mental world we live in, always mind, always thoughts of what happened. It's not the incident, it's not anything that happens to us. If you're in a car accident, you have a choice to decide how you're going to handle that. And that's a, here again, life is a choice. And we think, oh, I have to get mad at that. Pardon?
Say it again.
We are disturbed not by what happens to us, but by our thoughts about what happened. It's always your thoughts about what happened. She did that to Hattie. She could get very upset if she wanted, because and everyone would say, oh, absolutely. You should be upset about that. She said, no, I know who I am. I'm not going to get upset. See, she had control, she had power over her own mind, over her own thinking. She knew who she was. That's the whole idea in life, is to know who you are. Know that you are a child of God. Know that you're whole and complete and perfect. Know that you're a god or a goddess in the making. Know those things about yourself, and it doesn't matter. See, the most wonderful thing I think about this whole teaching is, it doesn't matter what your background was, it doesn't matter. You see, Rhoda is Jewish. It doesn't bother her, does it? This whole teaching makes sense to you. It makes sense to people. Because it's a logical thing. It's a loving thing. And it's a true thing. You see? And truth always wins out. Meaning God always wins. And people are worried about the world turning into something. It will never turn into anything. It's being held in the hands of God. You know, we're just interpreting everything differently. We're just interpreting. So, use your imagination and use it for good. We turn it into something else all the time. Remember that that is a very powerful tool, your imagination. Children know it right away. And we take imagination away from them constantly. We take that away from them. Know that you are one with this thing called God, and know that you are being taken care of. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.